Hey, good evening. Welcome to Home Group. I am Greg Stevens, and we are live tonight coming to you from the revival capital of the world. Wednesday night, Home Group. Are you excited? I'm excited. Okay, we're talking about, going to continue from last week, so many questions and comments in our Bible study concerning the Holy Spirit, so stay tuned. I want to welcome everyone first, and then I want to give you a really cool letter from one of our home group people. My wife, Michelle, is next
Hello.
To me. Annette is back with us, and Pastor Dwayne and Nicole Munoz are with us as well. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello.
Professor. Pastor, doctor, evangelist.
Praise the Lord. I'll take it.
All right. All right. So
Amen.
I have the, if you're joining us live, I want to welcome you. Those of you on the Victory Channel, welcome. And those of you watching on Facebook, I have an iPad right here. You can be part of the program. Get your questions and comments in. Please text them to 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. You can email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com. Prayer line is always open for you at the Partner Service Center. Right now, licensed ministers are there in the United States. The number is 877-281-6297. Well, of course, if you're in Canada, you can call that as well. I say that because a lot of people, what's the number in Africa? Well, that's the number here. If you want to call somebody here, however you have to do it to get into the United States, that's the number you call. Did that help? All right, let me read you a letter that came. This really, really blessed me. It says this: just want you to know how much your home group blesses me. I'm 92 years young and not able to go as I used to. We had home groups in our home, much as yours, and I certainly miss them. And then she asked a question: would like your insight on the present pandemic being a warning from God, and then quotes, get with it or else. I believe this is a warning and his hesed, which means mercy, his love and mercy. He's trying to get his people to see and hear. It's from G. Nanny in Arkansas. Thank you for your kind letter, and we'll see if we can't get into that. So, Holy Spirit, let's review just a little bit. What do I need to know? We learned this last week. He's invisible, but real. He's often confused with the manifestations. He's not the manifestations. He's a person. And being a person, the Holy Spirit has feelings. It says in Scripture, he can become sad or angry. You can insult him. You can blaspheme against him. He has intentions. He shows his willfulness and discretion. He loves. He communicates. He testifies. He teaches. He prays. And these are the qualities that distinguish him as a person. He was present during each stage of Jesus Christ's life. And Jesus put a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit. He was the subject of some intense prayer by the Father. He's the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. And the Lord mentions two points. The Holy Spirit was real, and he is about to come. Now, since he's already come, it's not about to come. We don't tarry for him anymore because he's already here. So a gospel with no emphasis on the Holy Spirit is very flat. The emphasis of the Holy Spirit does not come from any religious organization in particular, but from Jesus Christ himself. He said to them, it's not for you to know the time or the periods that the Father has set in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1. For three years, these men had witnessed the continual manifestation of God's power through Jesus. And now the doors were being opened for them to access the same power.
Yes.
That's really what it is, guys, isn't it?
It is.
It's you being able to access the same power that was in Jesus Christ. In order to receive the power of God, one doesn't need a religious formula, but you need a relationship with a person. And I said this to you last week. A farmer grows crops, is desirous to receive its fruit, but his relationship is with the plant. So you can't confuse the fruit of the Spirit with the plant. The plant is the Holy Spirit. So that's what we talked about last week. And you received him the moment you were born again. And we're going to get deeper into this today. And Pastor Dwayne, you teach at Kenneth Copeland Bible College on this subject, the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting to me that a lot of the questions and comments that were coming in last week were a lot of what we hear in students.
Yes. Yes. You know, you said a little bit ago, that power that Jesus operated in, it's the same power that was at the very beginning in Genesis. Mm. It's not a different power. It's not a lower grade power. It's the same power. The same power that when God spoke, light be, it's that same power that caused all that light to become, light to be. It's that same power. And that power is in us. Praise God. He didn't give us a lower grade.
Nope.
We have the same, the same spirit that the Word of God tells us, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead.
Now dwells in you.
Yes.
Think about it. That's a resurrection. That's a life power.
Yeah.
Why would we not want that power? You know, when you were saying that, this scripture came to mind in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. This is where students, they can quote this every day, morning and night, but they don't finish that particular verse. Mm-hmm. And they want to put that, the emphasis, well, God's able. God will do it. Okay. But notice what the rest of the scripture says here. It says, according to the power that works in us.
Yeah.
Mm. That's huge.
Yeah.
That God can do all these great and wonderful things that beyond our imagination, beyond our thought, but he does it through you.
He wants you to know that it's according to the working that's in you.
Yes.
Because the Holy Ghost is in you. He's the teacher. He's the one that reveals these truths to you.
Yeah.
But you got to know something.
Yeah. Renewing your mind with the Word of God.
You have to renew your mind.
I mean, how often?
Can I jump in there for a second? Because I've come to this. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I was raised with... They were pretty rowdy. I just got to be honest. I never wanted any of my friends from school to come to our church.
I know what you're talking about.
Do you understand that? I'm just, because I knew. And I wanted to, and if any of them were coming, I wanted to know what songs they were going to sing. Because if you sang certain songs, you knew what was going to happen.
Yes.
Somebody's going to have a tongue, and then the same person's going to have the interpretation. And then... Brother Newland or Sister Newland is going to run. Aunt Nora is going to whoop, you know, if they sing I Fly Away.
Right.
I mean, you know, whatever it was, we just knew Chicken Man was going to take off.
Huh? That's terrible.
We had names for everybody based upon what they did. Sister Nora would whoop, hallelujah, whoop, hallelujah. That was her.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and sure enough, I'd have a friend from school at church, and I would pray, God, please not today.
Did he answer your prayer?
No, And you'd hear that, whoop, and yes. I'd be like, oh, God, it's starting.
Can't stop it.
You can't stop it. But in all of that, you know, that being raised that way, it seemed normal. But you know, my friends were Baptist.
I was one.
And they thought we were...
crazy.
What?
They thought you was crazy as a Betsy bug.
Wait
a minute. A Betsy bug.
A Betsy bug.
Do you know what a Betsy bug is? I've never... What's a Betsy bug?
I don't know. It's just a thing.
It's just crazy.
If Betsy's a bug, I guess. But I was raised in... the Baptist church, we were taught that it was not for today. And then we had the United Pentecostal over here, and they're the ones, you could hear them.
Mm-hmm. From your church?
On Sunday?
Well, no, from your house.
Oh, my.
I lived on top of the hill. They lived the bottom of the hill. But you could hear them. They get happy and shout and jump and run and scream and holler. I don't know if you know what holler is, but holler is screaming to the top of your voice. Well, we were taught that they were ignorant and unlearned men. That's
really?
What we were taught.
Wow.
That's scripture.
Yeah, it is. Sure, it is.
But that's the way we were taught. So
referring to the disciples, actually.
Yeah, I totally had a hard time with it when I got born again, and I knew that the Holy Spirit was not what I thought it was, because I saw it in demonstration in a church, which it was for. I was an I was a believer, but I was an unbeliever in the Holy Ghost.
Wait a minute. You were a believer.
I was a believer in Christ.
Yes.
But I was an unbeliever. I was an unbelieving believer that you could speak with tongues.
So it was the tongues aspect, not the, tongues the, aspect. Okay, not so, the Holy Spirit.
So let's go to that. What about tongues? Do you have to speak in tongues?
That's the big question. Do you have to speak in tongues?
You don't have to. You get to.
You get to. You get to.
So what's the benefit?
Oh my goodness. Should everybody? Well,
because that's some of your questions.
I got a great scripture for you.
Okay, well, give me.
Okay, you get to speak in tongues. Well, John 16:13, my Crickmer people think, who is Crickmer? Crickmer's over 100 years old, and he wrote a translation, and Mark Hankins has a 100 translations, okay? And he uses all kinds of people that wrote translations. And Crickmer was one, and here's how he translated John 16:13.
Okay.
He came to make... No, that's a song. I want to tell you everything I know.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. He says that he come to keep you... What did I tell you that was? He came to...
As far as the curse...
He came to show you... That's not it. It'll come back to me and I'll tell you later.
I got you distracted with Betsy.
Oh, you got me distracted. But anyway, it's John 16:13. It said he come to keep you from ever transacting your day. I knew I'd get it. He came to live inside me, to keep me from ever transacting my daily affairs in darkness.
Huh.
That's pretty rich. John 16:13 in Brother Copeland's Modern Bible says, but when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority. Okay. John 16:13 says, he comes to live in you, to guide you and direct your path. Well, if you have to learn the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Dwayne, isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm, you do.
You learn the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living on the inside of us is one-third of the Godhead. Mm. You think, the one-third of the Godhead lives in me and wants to teach me His ways.
Yeah.
Jesus came teaching the kingdom of God is here. Mm-hmm. He came to teach us His ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the renewing of your mind is so important, because you'll learn about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Why did the Holy Ghost come to live in the people? He wanted to reveal His Word to them.
See, that's where I got off telling about people in my childhood.
Yeah.
That's where I was headed with that. Yeah. Thanks for getting me back there. You have to renew your mind to every new experience.
You got to.
You read something new in the Word of God, you got to renew your mind to it. You see something that's of God, you have to renew your mind to it.
Yes, you do.
You know, and there's times I don't get it. Listen, and when we pastored and she had prayer, she had prayer group and they would pray. And there were times, I'm just being honest, okay? I'd say, okay, that's a little weird. I don't get that. But I wouldn't talk against it.
Right.
I wouldn't speak against it.
Mm-hmm.
I just put it in my file. I have a file. It's kind of a thick one that says, I don't get it, but I'm not going to talk against it until I get a revelation, until I've renewed my mind to that. So what is the Amplified of that verse say?
So the Amplified just says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will speak the full truth, for He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come and the things of the future.
Yeah. You got to believe that. I mean, just to me, I just believed it. I mean, I was taught against it all my life, but I just believed
it. So the first time you were around it that you received this, what changed for you?
What changed for me was I was sitting in this Assembly of God church, and this woman gave this most beautiful tongue. It was beautiful. It was like an angel tongue. And that began to just well up on the inside of me. Not here, but it welled up. And I knew that it was from God. And then when she gave the interpretation, I knew it was from God and that I could have that. But I had to learn how to get it. So how did I learn how to get it? I looked at everything I could find on the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And when I got Brother Hagin's little book on the Holy Ghost, this little mini book, I devoured that. I sought that. I looked for that. I was, Lord, I was begging. And all of a sudden, I'm in my car by myself. Because, see, I didn't want nobody else to hear me because I, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. So my family thought I was crazy. Yeah. So I'm in my car going to Huntsville, Alabama, and I thought, I'm just going, Lord, I thank you that they're telling me to just receive it. So I'm receiving the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, I receive the Holy Ghost. I don't know how. I don't have a clue how to do this. But, Lord, I'm so hungry for this. I have to have this Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I just began going, Abba, Abba, Abba. Something clicked in me. That was it. I'm telling you, I Abba'd my way all the way to Huntsville, Alabama. Went in, bought my groceries, come back to Birmingham, Abba'd all the way to Birmingham. And I tell you, when I got there, I knew something took place in me.
Yes.
And from then on, I had a quest to know this. I can't tell you. That had to be the Holy Ghost. So I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost gives you such a quest to know this. That if you'll take the time and work through your ignorance. And when I say, I'm not calling you ignorant. I'm just saying.
Unbelief.
I was unbelief. And I had doubt up until that time. What is doubt? Doubt is when you're caught between two conflicting beliefs. Whose report you going to believe? Kenneth got a great teaching on the establishing witness. I'm the establishing witness. So which report am I going to believe and get rid of the doubt? I'm going to believe this report. And I'm going to stay with it to be that way if it takes 40 years.
So, Nicole, you were new to all of this as well. You just, was it a situation where, have you been in this situation where I know that's true, just bears witness with you? You don't fully understand that, but you just know there's something to this.
The Holy Spirit?
Yeah. I mean,
I learned everything I knew from my husband. I didn't come in knowing anything. I actually got saved in a Baptist church, and they never talked about the Holy Spirit. And I actually, during Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher would get upset at me because I asked a lot of questions. And I would ask, well, how do you know Jesus is real? Well, how do you know? Prove it to me. And they nearly never once told me to receive it by faith. They never told me that. So I left the church thinking they don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what's going on over there, but they didn't give me any of the answers I was looking for. So when I got saved that night by myself in my apartment and I met Dwayne 3 days later, I went to his church and he started talking about things that I'd wondered about my whole life. And he gave me the answer. So when he presented me with the Holy Spirit, I didn't necessarily know the whole reason why I needed him. He just said I did, and he showed me in the Word. So I went up and I took it. But since that time, my goodness, you know, I was looking at the scripture here, one of my favorites in 1 John 5:14-15, when he says, in the Amplified, and this is the life, this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him, that we're sure that if we ask anything, make any request, and I like this, according to his will, which means an agreement with his own plan. He listens and hears us. And since we positively know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have with settled absolute knowledge granted us our present possession, the request we've made of him. And I didn't know what in the word, what I could request of him. I didn't know what was according to his will, but the Holy Spirit, he showed me, you know, what is according to you? What can I ask for? Because you can read this and read this. And like you say, you get revelation the more you read it. Well, the Holy Spirit's the one who reveals the revelation to you. So when I would read the word, and I spent a lot of time for a while, honestly, I was dealing with fear. And I'd go to bed and I'd read Psalm 91 until that got revelation to me, Psalm 91. Well, I didn't know that I could ask for that protection or that peace when I went to bed. So the Holy Spirit showed me that. So it's important.
That's really good. And you mentioned about the bearing witness with your spirit. That's a scripture. It says his spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. I want to get into so many questions and so many thank you for all of these coming in. And I want to get to them and I want to get back to you with this teaching. Just a couple of quick ones here. And I want Brother Copeland to talk about this. How do I know I'm really speaking in tongues and not just making sounds? Do we all have the same prayer language? Why doesn't my language grow? Well, let's listen to what Brother Copeland says. What does it mean to speak in tongues? Moving over to where you're speaking more than just mental words is when you're baptized. It's speaking in tongues. It's for everybody that's born again. John 14:16, Jesus prayed for us as a comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, lawyer, strengthener, and he'll be with you forever. Here's Kenneth Copeland.
So, how do you move over in an area where you're only speaking mental words? That comes with the baptism with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. Well, now, Brother Copeland, is that for everybody? It's for everybody that's born again. Now, let's notice again here. Well, I'll tell you what. We were in the 14th chapter, John. Let's go back over there. I want you to see something here concerning that. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I want to read that to you from the Amplified Translation, because I want you to see I want you to hear these words. He will send you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate or lawyer, strengthener, and standby, and he will remain with you forever. Now then, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They can't receive him because they can't see him. It seeth him not, neither knows him. Now the world can receive the new birth. They can get born again, born of the Spirit and the Spirit dwelling within them. But they can't get baptized in the Holy Ghost because they can't see him. Can you see the difference here? Now then, but you know him, for he dwells with you. How is he dwelling with them? Because he was in Jesus. So the Spirit of God was with them. They were under his influence all the time. They were ministering in the authority and power of the Spirit, but they were ministering under Jesus' anointing. And Jesus himself said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And they were working under his anointing. He said, he's with you, but he's going to be in you. When? When you get born again. And that happened in the 20th chapter of the book of John. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's such a good word from Brother Copeland. Anyway. And that helps clarify it so we can understand it. It kind of goes to a question that we got here that says, if the Holy Spirit is our teacher, why is there always more emphasis given to Jesus and talk to Jesus rather than talk to the Holy Spirit? Because the Spirit, the Bible says, speaks not of himself. Mm-hmm. Right. But only of Jesus. Jesus said the things that he will say to you is what I'm saying to you. He's kind of like this iPad, right? It's the communication link between. Does that make sense? Maybe that's a bad
thing. But you know what?
It's a bad thing. So in that, what I'm trying to say, and I'm coming there, and what I'm trying to say to you is he speaks not of himself, but only what he hears of Jesus. Jesus said the words I speak are what the Father says. So it's the pipeline back and forth.
So the Holy Spirit's the one that's speaking now.
And he said you would recognize him.
Yeah. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to start speaking to you.
Yeah. Right. Okay, Dwayne.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Dwayne, back to it.
Well, I was thinking about what you were saying. You said you obbed your way all the way to Huntsville and obbed your way all the way back.
I didn't know that word was in the Bible either.
Right. So. But it's interesting because you started by faith doing something that you didn't know what you were doing.
I didn't.
Your mind wasn't really thinking about it, but you were just doing it by faith.
Yes.
And it's interesting. When you do things by faith, things happen.
Something starts going in here.
Okay.
Right.
So let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
That came in on a text. Thank you. And they'll put the information back up there how you can get questions and comments to us. How do I know that I'm really speaking in tongues and not just making sounds? What she was saying just a second ago.
Well, I like the way Michelle said it a second ago.
It's a little blunt.
Yeah, but it's the truth. You know, how did you say it?
Well, you have confidence when you curse something.
Yeah.
You know you're cursing something.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. That's my confidence. But I put my hope or my faith, use my faith, my God-given faith, in the Lord. And when I'm in faith, then I know what I'm doing is of God.
Right.
So what's coming out is of God.
Right.
Because it lines up
here. So I may not understand it, mm-hmm. and it may make no sense at all
to my mind,
but to my spirit, it does make sense.
Yes.
Do we all have the same prayer language? Is it the same?
No.
You know, let's look at what the scripture says. You know, if we go to 1 Corinthians 14, I'll read it out of the New King James, but it says here in the second verse, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God."
That's right.
All right. So that kind of puts to rest all the thinking that, well, do I need to speak in tongues? You know, well, you know, let's read finish the scripture here. It says, "For one, no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." So we can talk to God. We can unveil the mysteries of the Word of God when we pray in tongues. What Nicole was saying, that she gets understanding when she prays in tongues. God reveals the Word to her. Because the Word is a spiritual thing.
Could you say you're activating?
Yes. Yes, because the next thing, if you look at the next thing in verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 14, "He who speaks in tongues edifies himself." Edifies himself. And so when you think about edifying, you know, Brother Hagin used to say it's like it's charging the battery or recharging the battery. You know, how many times, you know, especially in the day and time we're in right now, people are getting worn down. But when you get praying in the Spirit, that's letting go of every natural thing and trusting in the Spirit of God and connecting to a source. Remember we talked about the Spirit in the beginning that was a power source?
Yeah.
He's a life source. When we start praying in tongues, it's like Brother Hagin said, we're connected to that source of life, and we recharge ourselves. Yeah. But not only do we recharge ourselves, but it says, "But he who prophesies edifies the church." Mm-hmm. So not only are you being edified and recharged, but when the church is being edified, and is building up. That's another word, building up, edification, building up oneself. Jump over to the latter part in verse 13. "Therefore, let him who speak in a tongue pray that he may interpret." Praying, you know, so that question was a little bit ago that you asked, you know, what's the difference, I guess, in praying and, how did that question was that you had? It was about praying in tongues. Do we pray in tongues? And some had to do with...
How do I know I'm not just making sounds? Why doesn't my language grow? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's a really good question right there. Why doesn't my language grow? Well, every child knows how to, you know, start saying the first few words, little syllables, and then finally they either start saying mama or dada, daddy,
right.
And they start growing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't stop.
Right.
No, we keep encouraging them. We keep on their own. They're listening. They're growing. They're developing.
Right.
Practicing.
And we encourage it. We get excited. We clap for them. We get, you know, it's a big accomplishment when they say dada or mama,
right.
You know. But then they start telling you exactly what they want. Food, milk.
Right.
All right. So they're growing. Why do we think that the things of the Spirit are different from the things of the natural? Why do we think that, well, how come my spiritual and praying in tongues isn't growing or developing? First of all, are you spending time in it? Are you developing in those things?
Right.
Why would we assume, well, nothing's happening? Well, a child, we can't say nothing's happening. They're growing. Yeah. It takes time.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about spiritual growth is it can happen very quickly.
Very quickly.
The more you push in and press in, the faster you grow. Yeah. And so it doesn't have to take years. It can take moments, days, hours, however much time you want to spend in it.
Yeah. And Jude 20 says, is another good one for the reason. It says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith.
Yes.
Praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God while you're waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which leads to eternal life. Well, we got eternal life when we got born again.
Amen. Amen.
So that's another one on the purpose of it, is to build yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
And one translation says something like climbing higher and higher.
Right.
I don't know where.
I know that there were times when our kids were growing up early on, she could understand what they were saying. I had no clue what they say. You know, and she'd say, they want this. And I couldn't understand you know, what they were saying. But she had spent so much more time around our own child. Mm-hmm. She knew the intent and knew what she knew what Binks was.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what Binks. What Binks?
Blanket.
No, Binks was Binks was baked beans.
Oh, okay.
Binks. More Binks.
More Binks.
I'm like, what's a Binks? You know, I mean, that was Betsy Bugs, right?
I'm
frustrating this child because I don't know what, and she had to interpret that for me, you know?
Do you realize this subject matter we're talking about, praying in tongues, why is it so something that people push against?
So attacked.
The hardest?
Made fun of. And
because we see
so
reason.
Necessary.
Yeah, because it's necessary for the church.
Yes.
You know.
Okay, so Kathy's asking, Kathy's asking, what's the main purpose of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, my goodness.
More than one.
There's several.
Yeah.
There's several. You know, we can go down a list.
So you think to come?
Yeah, Brother Hagin kind of already detailed 10 of them. And I'm probably going to be able to cover all 10, but the very first one that he covers, it's, first of all, he goes, it's the tongues are the initial sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because people think, well, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then I'm not going to speak in tongues, or should I have to speak in tongues? Well, you don't have to do anything. The Holy Spirit's not going to make you do anything. He is a gentleman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the initial sign is speaking in tongues.
Right.
I mean, we can look through the scripture from Acts chapter 2 on, and that's exactly what happened. So, and he says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Another reason, tongues are for spiritual edification. We just mentioned that a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. You know, there's times even when I'm driving here, we spend time praying in tongues. Speaking in tongues, edifying each other, and then the word began to grow in our van. Come in here because we're connected to a source. Mm-hmm. Another reason why we should speak in tongues. Every believer should speak in tongues. Tongues reminds us of the Spirit's indwelling presence. In John 14:16-17, it says, "And I will pray you the Father. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells in you and shall be in you." Mm-hmm. So we know another reason why we should pray in tongues or speak in tongues, remind ourselves of the Spirit's indwelling. And then another, tongues will keep our prayers in line with God's Word.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
All right, well, in Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities," or our weaknesses, in places when we don't know how to pray, or we don't know the answer for. He said, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit," I like this, "but the Spirit..." Mamas, how many times have you had to pray in the Spirit for your children?
Yeah. Every day.
Every day. You know, he said, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we can yield to the Holy Spirit, and He prays out the will of God.
Brother Copeland calls the Holy Spirit the greatest weapon that we have.
Somebody wrote in here just a second ago that the Holy Spirit's a Swiss Army knife. Whatever tool.
That's whatever
really
tool.
Good.
I like
that's
that.
Good.
That's
tool
awesome.
You
I'm going to use that.
I like
is,
that.
Is what's there. Yeah. Now, you talked about praying in the Holy Spirit when you don't know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. I considered myself, even though I grew up Pentecostal, I was far more conservative as an adult and all. And I, you know, somebody called me this in California one time. They called me a Bapticostal, which I'm okay with that. Because I knew the heart of what they meant by that. I was taught, pray the word, pray the word, pray the word, pray the word. And when you don't know what to pray concerning something, then ask the Holy Spirit to now pray through you. Right. Or do you do it that way, or do you just start out praying in the Spirit, Dwayne? When I'm, let's say I'm going to pray about something.
Well, think you have to remember this. The Holy Spirit came to be our helper. He's, and this, and Brother Hagin goes into detail of this, talking about, yes, when he come in to pray and he prays through us, he's coming to help us to pray. He doesn't do the praying for us. He still requires us to do our part.
Okay. Okay.
So he comes in as a guide. Remember, we have all the different attributes of the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our guide. He's our advocate. He's our friend. All these different things that he comes to come. Another word, that he comes alongside us, even though he's inside, but he comes inside alongside us to help us and to take us to that next place. So when we don't know how to pray, there's some times when I don't know how to pray a particular situation, and I can go to the scripture, but maybe I'm just in that place where, Lord, I just need to know where do I go? You know, we're dealing with a certain situation right now, and I'm and we can try to, you know, pull every scripture, and I'm thankful for the word of God, but there's some times when we just need to center down. Yeah. Lord, speak to us. What is it we're going to? What should be our next step? And then we pray in the Spirit. Matter of fact, Nicole said today, the Lord told her, why don't you pray in the Spirit more pertaining to this particular situation? Mm-hmm. All right. And so she told me this on the way over here. So we have endeavored from this point on, we're going to say, we're going to pray in the Spirit because we need His help. This is an area where we don't have enough enlightenment, if you will, or wisdom or light in this. And we may know all the scriptures, but we need to center in.
Yeah. I think he also shuts, you know, there's a part of praying in the Spirit. We talked about this where our mind shuts down. Yes. Because our mind, when we're praying in our known tongue, we end up thinking about what we're saying, and our emotions can get involved in all of that. When I pray in the Spirit, all of that seems to shut because my spirit rises to the occasion instead of my mind, will, and emotions. Mm-hmm. And so my spirit then rises up to the occasion, and he helps my spirit. Yes. It's like a surgeon. He knows how to cut right in those precise lines.
That's Romans 8:26.
Yes. Yes. He knows exactly where to leave me. Rick Renner has one of the best teachings on Romans 8:26. And he taught about how the Holy Spirit comes in and all what that means. And it's so powerful. But my mind then is not fruitful there. But then the Holy Spirit will bring up the exact word I need to say, or the exact scripture that I need to apply, like a surgeon would. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Apply this word or apply the scripture.
Or issues you're dealing with that are hindering it from.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or give you instructions on how to deal with your emotions.
Well, it's plain as day right here in Romans 8:26. So likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for word. Now, you were talking about that groaner in your church.
I had a groaner. In my church.
There's a place for the groaning.
Yes, there is.
And it tells us right here.
And people would get mad at me if I would stop the groaner, you know, or the travailer.
Yeah.
But it was a balancing thing for me because there's other things that need to happen besides.
Yeah.
I'm okay occasionally, but I can't have you do that in every service.
No.
Every time.
That's because she needed some good teaching, mm-hmm. when to and when not to.
I didn't say it was a she. I said it was a travailer. Hallelujah. All right. So here's a... So speaking in tongues is the source of... Source or the Holy Spirit? Speaking in tongues is the source or the Holy Spirit? That's from Josephine. Dwayne, do you know what that's saying there?
Ask that again.
So speaking in tongues is the source or the Holy Spirit?
The source of the Holy Spirit working through us?
Well, the help of the Holy Spirit.
Guys can help me retype that, then I'll get better at that. Tongues, then. You're saying tongues is a fleshless prayer? Your flesh isn't involved?
It's not
in that?
It's not, your mind is not involved.
Your mind's not involved. Nope.
Your flesh. Well, I mean, you have to use the flesh.
Right. You can be speaking in tongues and your mind's still thinking about something else.
Yeah.
So it can be involved.
Stay with it
but,
till you get it
right,
on track.
Right. Yeah.
So when I go to pray about something, I'll go to the Father in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Right.
That's key.
Yeah.
Because that's what he told us to do. I'll go to the Father in Jesus' name and I'll pray according to what, to my understanding, according to what it is. Let's make up something, guys. What are we praying about tonight? We're praying about what's happening in this country, right? With all the riots and stuff. And
that we know how to undo this.
So I begin to pray about that. But once I've reached an end that, Lord, I really don't know what else to pray concerning this. And this is what I always do. And Dwayne, I'm open to correction here if I've got this wrong. I never really go in the Spirit first. Me.
Right.
I'll pray the Father in Jesus' name concerning everything I know concerning whatever it is we're praying.
Right. Yeah.
Finances. Yeah. And they'll say, now, Lord, I don't understand everything. You know, Brother Copeland, you know a million ways to get $1 million to me, and I only know one. Two.
Right.
But you know. So now I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit. And I learned this from Brother Hagin.
Yes.
I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to now pray through me what should be prayed. And then I'm going to ask for the interpretation of that.
Right. But he won't do it apart from you. That's the thing.
Go ahead.
He's going to do it outside of your will and your participation in it. Right. That's key. He's coming along. I just looked this up. Just, you know, I wanted to see what it was in the Greek, and I can't even pronounce the Greek word on that, but I thought it was very interesting when you say he comes alongside to help, what we should pray for. When you look that particular word, it was interesting what he says he comes to do. He says, the definition, he comes to take hold with at that side to take or share in or generally to come and help you or to lend a hand along with you.
Yes.
I like that. He comes along to lend a hand. Oh, what a hand we're connected to at that point.
Yeah.
And he said he takes interest in a thing along with others, assists jointly to perform some task, or he comes to cooperate with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those are big definitions of what he comes to do to help us.
Yeah.
But you're right, Greg. I'm the same way. I always go first to the Father in the name of Jesus. I go and I do this. I plead my case a lot of times. I'll go through the scripture. The word of God says these things, or I'm praying on these things and according to your word. But there are some things, Lord, I need direction. I need revelation. I need understanding. I need your help on these things. And then I can go into praying in the Spirit. And if I stay there, that's a faith walk.
It
that's
is a faith walk.
Move.
It's all by faith.
Yeah, because that's when my wife and Nanette was saying, then your mind starts to try to trickle in and try to think, well, nothing's working. It ain't working. You know, I've learned to shut my mind out.
Well, guess what? You've just provoked your words.
Yeah. So we just got to continue to
stay on your belief.
To stay on it, know it, that we're doing this by faith.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I've seen it too many times in my life where I've seen the great result of it, just being faithful to it and trusting and knowing, hey, you know what? People would think, well, you're a pastor. That's why it works for you. You know, how often do we get that even at the school, Greg? You know, well, you're a teacher. You've studied this. It works for you. Brother Copeland has mentioned that. It doesn't work. It wasn't just for those who were in the fivefold ministry.
No.
It's for the Holy Spirit is given for all believers. It's for the Holy Spirit was given for the church.
Yes.
If we would all come to that understanding of the Holy Spirit's help in these things, Greg, then can you imagine how much more vibrant and more powerful the body of Christ would be in these end days?
Mm-hmm. But can you see the power that the enemy of your soul works that you don't mess with that Holy Ghost?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't pray in tongues. There's an onslaught from hell to keep you from praying in tongues.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the question, and thank you for our production team that resent this to me from Josephine, your question. And I want to give it to you now. These guys, listen, I don't talk about them enough and brag on them. The entire production crew that behind the cameras in the control room is the call screeners. Thank you for what you do. Josephine. Is speaking in tongues the source, or is the Holy Spirit the source?
The source of.
The Holy Spirit is the source. That's whom we're, he is the one, like I said, with scripture we just read, he comes alongside to help. Mm-hmm. We're connecting. Our speaking in tongues is that it that's
connecting
what takes.
The
yeah,
source.
And
it's
having you pray, not with your own natural understanding,
but
he's having you pray mysteries,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you get if, but it does you no good if you don't. That's why I always say, "What I just pray out."
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know.
Well, we looked in that scripture we read a moment ago. One of the things he does is to help interpret.
Yeah.
I told our students, listen, one of the things that you should do when you're praying in the Spirit, and practice at home. Practice at home. He comes to help you to understand. He's not going to, what good is it if you're praying in tongues and you don't understand exactly what
So you know what will happen to me, Duane? Here's what happens mm-hmm. to me. I'll be praying in the Spirit, and afterward, sometimes during, sometimes just afterward, all of a sudden a verse will come to me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or something. Well, I've learned now, there's my answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's interpretation.
The interpretation.
Right.
Comes in different ways.
There's my answer.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And for me, it's always with the Word, you know, because that's where I go.
Now, let me
show it to me in the Word.
But let's clear something up. Because you interpret what it was doesn't make you the prophet.
No.
You know, that's something different.
Yeah.
And that's
and
another.
As strange as this may sound, at times it comes to me in Hebrew.
Wow.
Because I'll be studying something in class, and all of a sudden, a word, like just recently, the word for men and women, the one flesh, them, is the same word rearranged as truth.
Mm.
And so the truth is one man, one woman. I saw it, and all of a sudden something came to me.
Yes.
And it's funny because, you know, it came to me in Hebrew. You know, but that's what I study.
Right.
So therefore, that makes sense.
So you received it.
Yeah. So praying in tongues at will. In other words, right now.
Yeah, I can pray.
I do it all the time.
I do.
And then
you just start.
Is that in the flesh? If I pray in tongues at will,
no.
Is that in the flesh?
God's
got to
use the flesh.
What? Connected.
Michelle, you're too quiet over there.
I'm in the crossfire. You're in the crossfire.
Well, God, they're very adamant. That's good. They're stronging their conviction.
I am just reading. Yeah. I'm just reading what came in, and they're all after me.
God has to use flesh beings to express himself.
I'll never forget, because I was not going to be that guy that was going to run. I was not going to be that guy to do any of that stuff. And I'm traveling with Brother Hagin in Holy Ghost meetings. So guess what's going to happen eventually?
Sure.
But I'm not that guy. And he'd just laugh and belly shake.
Well, I saw you run one time.
I know you did. But it's not going to be me. The Holy Spirit's going to have to make me do that.
It's going to move on you to do it.
No. That first step is in the flesh.
Yes, it is in the flesh.
It's called yielding.
Okay,
people
now wait a minute.
Go. Flesh is bad.
That's a big
flesh
word.
Flesh is just you're operating out of five senses.
Yeah.
That's all the flesh.
So what did you just say about
it's
that?
It's called yielding.
Yes.
Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding.
Who's already in you.
Who's already in you.
The moment you were born again, the Holy Spirit's in you.
He's not going to make you do something. That's the thing.
I just didn't want to look like Brother Newland.
Dear Lord,
it's kind of
stop.
Funny. You know, even
no, I'm serious.
He's in
heaven today. He knows.
You
know what I'm saying, don't you?
You know, even in even we have services right now and Spirit gets to move, and I look over at Greg. Greg sits right close to me. He look at me. Go ahead. Run. Because
you
know
go
I'll probably. Yeah,
you go first.
So.
Hey, the two of you were laid out on the floor not long ago. Yeah, I have a picture.
We have video
but
for that.
Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding. When you said that was a big word.
It is a big word.
Yeah. Why is it a big word? Because I know where you're going with this. Why would it be a big word?
Well, because it's something we have to practice. It's something we have to work with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. This is a teaching. It's a learning and how to yield to him first.
Yes.
And it's not my flesh. It's not me, but allowing him to go first.
Brother Hagin used to say this. He said many things that he did in a service at a camp meeting. He said he saw himself do it before he actually did it.
So I talked to him about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about faith. And I remember this, why some, and because I was curious, why some Pentecostal or some Word of Faith churches don't have moves of the Spirit. And his answer was very simple. They don't have faith for it.
Mm.
Right.
I'm like, what do you mean we don't have faith? We're faith people.
Yeah.
Or
they don't have faith for it.
Or they're fearful of losing control.
Losing control.
But
there you go.
How many times have you seen in the Spirit as we're working with him and you've seen yourself do something and you don't do it?
Right.
Right. And so there's that I've got to yield, but not just see what he's showing me, but then actually be obedient.
Yeah.
Well,
to
that's
then
what
follow through.
That's what he would do. He'd go, well, amen. I'm just going to do what I saw myself do.
Right.
Now, when he does it, when he steps out and does it, he's operating in faith.
Right.
That first step is a flesh step.
Right. Yep. Yes.
And then be blessed.
That's yielding.
Yeah.
That's yielding.
Yeah. Same thing with praying in tongues. The first thing you're going to hear is your voice.
And it's going to be the first thing to be your flesh. It's going to be your flesh first.
It's going to be your flesh.
You know, you have to have a starting point. You have to have a starting point. And then once you have that starting point, once you make that first step.
Off and running.
You're off and running.
Can every believer have the interpretation, Duane?
Can every believer?
Have the interpretation of tongues.
As the Spirit wills, yes. But you can, as a believer, can interpret
yours,
mine.
See, like Sunday, there was a moment in second service, and Pastor Terry laid her hands on Pastor George, and a word was given. I had an interpretation, but I waited because it might not have been for me to do.
Right.
So I waited, and Pastor John went up.
And what is it? You're yielding. Uh-huh. As the Spirit wills. Mm-hmm. I've heard it many times where when I pastored a church, when I gave a message in tongues, and I would normally call the person from the to the platform that they would give the interpretation.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And then, but I had some instances where there were two or three that came up on the side and told me, the Lord spoke this and this was what but it was in line.
Right.
With the other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it always lines up with the Word of God.
Always.
Yeah.
And then we're asking, why didn't you pick me? Well, the Lord pointed someone out to me. Maybe that person was first time stepping out in faith.
Right.
Maybe it was a teaching moment for them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe helped her.
Maybe I helped them to see something that they didn't see in themselves.
Yeah.
You know, so
I do want to say real quick, and we're talking about interpretation, but I do want to mention my prayer language is not always the same. Mm-hmm. I have a few different ones. And when I really get going in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit is taking me really deep, my prayer language changes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's consistently the same. It sounds more like an Asian type of language, but I don't ever start out that way. I start out the way I normally do, which is, like you said, the first step's the flesh step. So I start out that way. And then somewhere along the line, if it really gets deep, it changes. Mm-hmm. So don't be intimidated or think that that's wrong or that all of a sudden you lost it or you're missing it because it changes, because it does for me.
But also don't also think that it has to.
It doesn't
have to.
If it doesn't
change, don't think.
Yeah.
Don't think that, well, I must not be going deep enough because it's not changing. Don't go into the strange things that people come up with. All right. Stick with the Word. Mm-hmm. Stick with the Word. Stay with the Word. Don't go to this. You know, there are so many, especially now, because we are in these last days. We are seeing it more and more. And on all the more, the crazy stuff is surfacing. It's coming back up again. If you notice, we're seeing it again. And so, Brother Hagin used to always just say, stay in the center of the road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't follow the right to the left ditch. He says, stay in the center.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
do what the Word says, and you won't miss it. And so that helps us, especially with us as teachers, to go and to make sure that we tell our.
If you stay in the center, you're not going to fall in the ditch.
Right.
So. The most terrifying day for me, I don't know about for you, most terrifying day for me at Rhema when I was in Bible college was the day Keith Moore got up and said, all right, we're going to prophesy today. And you start pointing at people and you're like, what? But we'd been trained and he was teaching us to yield. And I want to go back to yield one more time.
Yeah.
Describe again what yielding is. Is it like yielding your car?
Yes. Yielding is saying, I'm not going to stand firm against. I'm not going to try to force my will. It's surrendering your will to His will. Just as all really, you know, Brother Keith Moore has that song, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yield yourself to the unction of God, you know, and let Him be your guide. Well, that's what it is. You are making yourself tender to flow with Him. And it's, and a lot of times when He's flowing, when you're flowing with Him, you're getting blessed. But it's what we've learned here through Pastor George Pearson's here at EMIC is that it's always for the benefit of others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you yield to His presence, to yield to His Holy Spirit. And,
how long should I pray in the Spirit? Here's another, and we're not going to get to all the comments and questions. I apologize. How long?
How long
should I pray in the Spirit?
You know, there is no... set time. You know,
it's not a formula.
No, there is no formula. Miss Gloria talked in one of her books. I'm trying to think which one we use it at Holy Spirit. But she mentioned on her own testimony that she was led of the Lord. Now, that's key. Mm-hmm. She was led of the Lord to pray for an hour a day in tongues. Mm-hmm. And she devoted that time. You know which book I'm talking about. Yeah. And so, but that was her. So many people have tried to take that and said, God's well, I'm going to do it. That's it. God's will for you. And so people tried to make a formula out of it. So, well, I got to pray in the Spirit because Sister Gloria did it for an hour. And then what happened? They didn't fulfill an hour. They started getting, feeling bad. Started, they're missing it. They're not as strong. But see, the title of the book says it all. God's will for you.
She was looking for God's will for their
yes.
life.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And praying in tongues is not a substitution for spending time in the Word.
Oh, my. That's
it
another
doesn't
thing.
Take place of that.
Right. Yeah. No. I had to correct that in our church because there were some people that say, well, I don't need the Word of God.
I'm
just
going to
pray in tongues. And so Brother Hagin said it this way. He says, you can pray in tongues. That's like breathing. He goes, but you got to pray. You got to have the Word because that's food. Eventually, if you quit eating food, you're going to quit the breathing too.
Yeah.
So, the Holy Spirit comes to help us with the Word. The Word is foremost. In the beginning, the Word was there.
And the Holy Spirit was hovering, waiting for the Word.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Let's see what I just did there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We got a couple of minutes left or so. And listen, I'm seeing so many comments and hearing comments in my ear that you want more of this. And I kind of have that same tug in me, guys, that we need to do this again.
Sure.
But go deeper and
Amen.
Start talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how those operate, how they should operate in a church, whether or not who should be the one and things done decently in order. So if you guys are willing, we need to do this again.
Amen.
Final thought. Holy Spirit's for everybody. He is for everybody that's been born again. The Holy Spirit guides us and gives us utterance. He helps us when we don't know what to do. Praying and speaking in tongues is for our own spiritual edification, to unveil mysteries and to remind us of His indwelling presence. He's our power source, and He comes to help you understand what you've prayed in tongues by interpretation in many ways. When you yield to Him, make yourself sensitive to flow with Him. Praying in tongues is not a substitute for reading the Word of God. We yield to Him, and we grow in that. Okay, I want to make you aware of some things tomorrow, and Friday night. Jesse Duplantis Visionary Conference will be aired live right here on Victory, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, tomorrow night and Friday night. Now, not the day sessions, just the evenings. I don't want you to miss it. Jesse Duplantis Visionary Conference tomorrow night and Friday night. Now, if you missed that, this Sunday right here in Fort Worth, July the 12th, our special guest is Jesse Duplantis in person at the 10 a.m. and 12 Eastern, 9 a.m., 11 Central. We want you to be here and be part of that. So it's a full Jesse weekend beginning tomorrow night, Friday night, and on Sunday right here at Eagle Mountain Church. This has been fascinating, guys. Thank you so very much for your help. Know this, that God loves you. And we love you.
And Jesus is Lord.
We'll see you next week.